Good morning and greetings in Christ's name this morning. Beautiful day that we have to gather together again. I've been encouraged, I've been challenged by the things that have been given to us to think about, ponder upon, discuss. Been encouragement to me. Today is Father's Day, as it's already been mentioned. So I think our thoughts, Sunday school lesson, and those things are very fitting for today. I'd like to continue kind of down along the same line of thought, speak to the fathers this morning. And it's something for us all to think about. I don't feel like I necessarily have anything real necessarily new to share this morning, but I believe it's good for us to be reminded. I need reminded. It's good for us to be encouraged. I feel like I need that as well in this. I'd like to look at the role of a father this morning. Not exactly sure when it was, probably a couple of years ago, I spoke on the role of a husband when we were going through the series on the Christian home. I did take a few thoughts from that, but an example or two from that message, but kind of coming at it from a little bit of a different angle. We'll be touching a little bit or the connection between father and husband. There are some things that are the same, but looking at it more from the angle of the role of a father in the home that God has blessed us with. So first of all, I'd like to lay a bit of groundwork for this, and then we will get into a few practical aspects of it as well. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 for a couple of verses to begin with. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created man. He had a plan in mind. We want to notice that. So Genesis chapter 1, let's read verses 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Notice the phrase here, in the image of God. What is significant about that phrase? God created man and woman in his image. Man and woman's role was not and is not self-revolving. Rather, it was prescribed by God, who desires you and I to be in his plan, in his image. That is his plan. It didn't just happen. God planned it for his glory, and with that in mind, he laid out how it was to work, and I'm thankful for that. He gave us guidelines. Why? I believe so that the conclusion would result in bringing glory to him. Let's not forget that. How God laid out for things to be, the role of father, of mother, and all of that. He did it so that it would bring glory to him. And I trust that we can remember that as we fill our responsibilities. There has been and still a lot of talk about man and woman's place. We hear that. We hear of just a lot of talk about man and woman's place in the home, the workforce, the government, and so on. Many people, when discussing this, leave out Genesis 1. They leave out where the plan that God, our Creator, had in mind when He made man. God Himself was the maker. God Himself was the architect, the engineer. He is the one to tell us how to find our place. And we as men and women were given responsibility beyond the initial care of ourselves. Let's keep that in mind as well. Adam was given a responsibility right from the start that went beyond the only the care of himself. It went beyond that. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Man and woman's place is not just simply to survive on their own right, but a responsibility to care for each other. I believe that is a part of being in God's image. Another thing I want to notice while here in Genesis is that Satan was already out to destroy that which was good. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Why didn't Satan go to Adam? I'm not totally sure. Why didn't he go to Adam? He was the leader. Well, Satan was already trying to destroy what God was establishing. I believe that was the reason, at least part of it. And that satanic effort to destroy the home, God's plan for the home, has not stopped, nor will it stop until the Lord returns. The fact that this is under attack today is just a replay of when that question was brought to Eve. Yea, hath God said? That question was presented to her, and that question is being asked over and over again today in relation to what God's plan is for us as fathers, for you as mothers. Yea, hath God said? We hear many things. We hear, oh, that's old-fashioned. We hear of male dominance. We hear of women's lib, feminist movement, alternative lifestyle. You hear it. We hear of all of these things that are directly against, they're an attack of God's plan. Again, the devil is very busy seeking to destroy that which God has called good, and God has put a blessing upon it. Looking now more directly at the role of a father, there are many, many children today, we know that, who do not have a father to look up to. They don't have someone there to look up to. Many children are born that do not have their dad as a good role model. They have no idea what it is to have someone as a leader in their home. That is missing in many cases. They grow up without discipline. They grow up without much love expressed to them. They end up out in the streets. This morning, I'm very thankful. I'm very grateful for what we have. And I trust that each one of us are. Let's just take a moment and thank God for what He has blessed us with. He has blessed us with so much, and I'm grateful for that. May we as fathers be what we should be. You know, there are all kinds of books out there that tell us how to be a father. There's, you name it, you can find many things. Well, where are we going for our direction? I believe it's right here, God's Word, the Bible. God's Word is the book to look into, and that is what we want to do this morning. I believe one reason why we have so many broken homes around us today is because we as fathers are failing. We are responsible. We need to be prepared to fill the vital needs. And I use that word for a reason. Vital. Vital needs of our families. What does vital mean? It's something that must be, something that we dare not neglect. It's a matter between death and life in many cases. Maybe an example of this, oxygen is very vital, is a very vital need to all of us. If it is removed, we would die. What I'm saying is that unless we as fathers in the home meet certain conditions, our families cannot survive. And again, we see that. Families are broken down. Families are torn apart in many cases. It's because the vital needs are not being met. It's extremely difficult for the Christian life to be lived in those situations. Not that it can't be done, but it is extremely difficult. So I would like to look at some scripture. As I mentioned, our instructions are found in the Word of God. Turn with me, first of all, now to Ephesians chapter 5. If some familiar words here, some familiar direction given. Ephesians 5. I'd like to read, maybe we'll just read verses 22 through 33. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I believe the principle is very clearly outlined here, that the husband is the head of the home. Verse 23 says, the wife. And I think we can safely put in there the home as well. I believe it applies. We as husbands are given the responsibility to lead out in our homes. I have a couple of things listed here. I have a couple of, I guess, what I would call vital needs that I believe are very important for the Christian home to survive. I'd like to look at these couple of things here this morning. And unless these vital needs are met, we shouldn't be surprised if sons and daughters turn their backs on Jesus Christ and the church. If those vital needs are not met, there will be suffering. We as husbands will suffer. Our wives will suffer. Our children will suffer. And the church will suffer. The first thing I have here is stability and direction by a spiritual leader. A very vital need. Stability and direction by a spiritual leader. Now, I probably have kind of a lot of things combined in that. But why do I say a spiritual leader? I'm not saying that there are not any stable families in America who are not spiritual. I guess I would stop short of saying that. There may be some, but very few. Why do our families need a spiritual leader? Do we have scripture for that? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Notice the words, weaker vessel. A lot of women don't like those words. Those words do not mean that you wives feel inferior to your husbands. That's not what I understand them to mean. I understand them to mean that you have a need for security. You have just as much right to the grace of God as we husbands do. But I believe God instilled in women the desire for security and direction by a spiritual leader. And there's a number of things in this verse that would give indication of that. Perhaps there are some women with certain temperaments that seem to be more natural leaders. I believe the desire is still there, even in those situations, for a spiritual leadership in their lives from the husband. The desire is in the woman for her husband to lead her and give her direction. I came across this little poem or saying, whatever it is, simply says this, it's three lines: he knows the way, he goes the way, and he shows the way. That is what our families want. That's what our wife wants. That's what our children want. He knows the way, he goes the way, and he shows the way. Did you know that in America today, in the majority of homes, even Christian homes, that it is the mother who suggests, "Dad, can we pray at the table before the meal? Dad, can we sit down and read the Bible together? Dad, why don't we go to church this morning?" In the majority of homes in America, that is the case, that it is the mother who suggests that. That right there is one of the reasons that I say fathers have failed. Fathers have failed God. It should never be that our wife needs to suggest that we go to church on Sunday morning. It should never be that our wife needs to suggest that we pray before a meal. That is the father's responsibility. We probably have read stories and heard of homes where this was the case, and the wife needed to instigate those things. I heard of a mother that asked her husband to lead in devotional life and to pray, but he didn't want to. And this same man had a new home for his family. He had just purchased a brand new car. He had a good job. He had lots of money. He went out and bought brand new furniture. But even with all these things, the wife did not have that feeling of security in her life. Those things didn't bring that. She was desiring spiritual leadership in the home, and it was missing. It wasn't there. When we as fathers fail in our spiritual leadership, it affects in many areas of life. It affects all of those that are involved. It's not the material things that our families want most. They want direction. They want someone stable to look up to. We sometimes get the idea, and society has pressed it upon us by their lifestyle, buy new clothes, buy a new home, new cars, go out to eat twice or even three times a week. We seem to think that if we can provide all these things, then our family's needs will be met. After all, what else do they need? Well, the truth of the matter is, that is not what they really want from us. That is not what they really want. And it is not the answer to spiritual growth. And if that is our idea, then I believe that we have failed our families and we have failed God with what he has entrusted to us into our care. I believe all the wives here today would rather live in an old house and have their husbands lead the family in a godly way, be an example of Christian living. They would rather have that than a lot of new things and a husband that works 14 to 18 hours a day. The children lack discipline. Dad is hardly at home. Down deep, I believe that is what every wife would want. Well, we've talked about the importance of being a spiritual leader. What is a spiritual leader? A spiritual leader, first of all, is a man that seeks God. And he seeks God with a passion. It's obvious. David was a man after God's own heart. Psalm 42 indicates that he sought God with a passion. I just have those verses jotted down here. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That is one example. It's very obvious that David had a passion for God. Another example I thought of was Elkanah and Hannah in 1 Samuel 1. Maybe we could just turn to that. 1 Samuel 1 is another example. Verse 3. It says, "And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there." Then the first part of verse 7 says, "And he did so year by year." Now turn to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24. Let's read verses 1 through 7. "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." I'm not saying that we as fathers need to go out and find wives for our sons as Abraham did. But the point that I'm bringing out here is that in a sense, we are doing that. In a sense, we are doing that by being the spiritual leader that we should be. If we are being the spiritual leader that we should be, in a way, we are doing that very thing. It has a definite impact. There is a principle here. Are we concerned for our families? Are we teaching them principles from God's Word? If we are, see, spiritual leader, again, it will make a difference. It will affect the decisions that they make. I believe that has a definite impact on the choices that our children will make. Jacob and Joseph, it seems like Jacob had a good relationship with Joseph. It would appear like Joseph talked about God. I see here a man who was taught about God. A spiritual leader is a man that seeks God with a passion, as I already mentioned. He is a man that leads his family to the saving knowledge of Christ. He is a man of conviction. He is a man that builds conviction based on the Word of God and seeks by the grace of God to live that biblical conviction. And fathers, unless we have conviction, unless we live it, we will not be able to teach it to our children. We will have nothing to offer them. It is impossible. You can't teach it effectively to someone if you don't have it yourself. I came across a story that illustrates it very well, and I think I may have given this story here before, but it's been quite a while ago. I'm going to share it again. There was a stray dog that came to this certain family's place, and they became quite attached to it. A couple days later, they saw a notice in the paper from a family that lost their dog, and they wanted very much to have this dog back. And the article said that this dog had three white hairs in its tail. That was the identifying factor here. Well, sure enough, this stray dog that this other family had become quite attached to had that. It had these three white hairs in its tail, but they decide not to notify the real owners. But somehow or another, the owners found out where their dog was, and so they went to this place to get him. And when they got there, the dog came running. It was very obvious he knew them. He wanted to play with the children that he was used to. It was very evident that he knew them. But this man, when he had found out that this family was coming to get their dog, before they got there, he took the dog, and right in the presence of his son, he pulled out those three white hairs. You know what happened? That man gained the dog, but he lost every one of his sons to the world. What had that father taught his children? You get the point. We have to live it within our heart, first of all. I think of church life. What about church life? When our youth don't feel the need to comply with the guidelines of the church, I'm afraid that far too often it is an indication that we as fathers have failed. I know it puts a lot of responsibility on us as fathers, but I believe that that is far often the indication. Maybe we say we don't have a conviction for that standard. That's fine. We don't have to have convictions for all the standards. But could you, for the love of Christ, and could you, for the love of the church, be willing to practice that part of the standard anyway? Our children at a very young age will be able to tell if we support the church or not. Again, it makes a huge impact. And they will be able to tell. They can tell by what we say. They can tell by our conduct and walk of life. And it will make a definite impact on the decisions they make in life. We as fathers are role models. Do we as fathers realize how our children watch our conduct? That is something that strikes me again and again. Dad, you did it, so why can't I? I've heard that. Dad, you said that, why can't I? I've heard that as well. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge to me, and it should be a challenge to each of us as fathers. I've had to more than once say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that either. I shouldn't have done that either. Fathers, your young sons are looking up to you, and more often than not, want to be just like you. That is often the case. Once this mother heard a noise in the bathroom, and she went to look, and here was their little boy with his face all lathered up with shaving cream, and he was just picking up the razor, and the mother stopped him and said, what in the world are you doing? His reply was, I want to be like my daddy. That's what he was doing it for. He wanted to be like his dad. You see the example that we are. Well, our families need spiritual direction and leadership, and they want that from us. Well, we need to move on. The second thing that I believe is very vital, a very vital need in our families, is showing love. Showing love to our families. We noticed in Ephesians 5, let's just turn back to that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then drop down to verse 28 and 29. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. The Bible says we are to love our wife. How? He says how? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you really love your wife? Do we really love our wife and our families that much? So much that we give up to them, give ourselves up to them. So much that we take care of their needs in a proper way. Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. Do you realize what all this is saying? As I ponder this, I feel like I've fallen short of what God has asked me to do. Stop and think about it. All that Christ did for us, the church, he served, he toiled, He met the needs. He suffered. He went through pain. He gave himself. He died for us. Are we as fathers willing to do that for our families? That's what he's asking us to do. Do we express love to our wife? There was a couple that was married for, I believe it was around 25 years, and they were having some marriage difficulties. Finally, they went to a marriage counselor, and this marriage counselor said to the man, "Have you told your wife lately that you love her?" The man replied, "Well, no, I used to tell her that, but she knows that I love her. She knows that I love her. I feel like I have to say it all the time." Well, how do we express our love to our families? I know we as Mennonites are pretty conservative, and maybe you will disagree with me, but I believe there should rarely a day go by that we as husbands don't audibly tell our wives that we love them. I believe there should rarely be a day go by that we don't tell our wife that we really do love them. And I also believe that our children should hear it. I believe it does them well for them to hear it. I know it goes much farther than saying it. Absolutely. That's right. We can say it all we want, but if our actions don't show, then our words will absolutely mean nothing. That is correct. There's more than one way to show our love. And I don't mean going around in public and putting on a show. That's not what I'm saying. There are proper things and there are improper things. But maybe you've been married 5, 10, 15, 30, or even 50 years. Is it still evident that you love your wife? Is it still as evident that you love your wife as it was the day that you got married? Think about that. When you were dating, you put a lot of effort forth to let your girlfriend know that you loved her. Not only did you tell her, but you wrote it in letters and notes and cards and whatever. I believe all that was important, and you know what? It still is important. Now, 22 years later, it is still important for us to do that. What are some things that we as husbands can do, show by our actions that we love our wife? Do we as husbands, when we go to town or go to work, remember our wives at home? They are there day after day, night after night, on duty, as it were. Are we willing to share the workload? When we come home and the children have been fussing all day with the flu, maybe the washer quit, maybe the dryer isn't working right, maybe the kitchen smells of scorched soup, those things happen. Do we share the load? Are we there? And believe me, don't look at me as a real great example in this. I need to grow in this as well. But some things that I've been challenged with. What do we do about those things? Those things happen. Do we share the load? I believe that we need to tell our wives more often than we do. "Dear, you've been doing a fantastic job." I have been told already, though, that don't say something that's not true. We need to be careful of that. But I think we need to tell our wives, you're doing a fantastic job. You're a wonderful cook. You care greatly for the children. You keep the clothes mended. Now tomorrow, I want you to take the day off. I will take care of the children. I will do the housework. Go garage sailing. How many of you done that? I think I might have once or twice. Not real often. How do we do that? I will cook the meals. Maybe it will just be hot dogs heated up in the microwave. I think we take our wives for granted for what they do far too often. Do you realize how many times a day they do things? Wash dishes, cook food, you name it. How many times a day do they do that? I haven't figured it up. But figure up how many meals are cooked in a week, a month, a year. How many loads of wash are done in a year? When you get home from work, then do you just grab the paper and go sit on the recliner and while your wife finishes getting supper ready and the table set? Oh, the children can do it. We have older children now. They can be sent to do it. After all, I had a hard day too. That happens. Again, there's more than one way we can show our wives that we love them. But our wives and our children feel if they are loved or not by our actions. thinking just a bit more specifically about showing our children that we as fathers care for them and love them. Spend personal time with each child. We ought never to be so busy that we don't have time for that. When we take that time, that I believe is expressing the love and security that they need. They have problems just like we do. They feel social pressures, feelings of acceptance, peer pressure, and other things. We as fathers and mothers must be there for them, giving spiritual direction and stability to their lives. Children need our love and affection. There are many young people who run away from home. There are many young people who consider suicide. And what brings them to this point? I believe it's a lack of love. It's a lack of attention and a lack of affection. Three basic things. Are we, Father, so engrossed in making a living because of the high standard of living that somehow we have gotten ourselves into? Are we neglecting being that spiritual leader in our home because of materialism? Remember, there is only one thing that we can take with us out of this world, and that is our families. Does that thought, does that have an impact on us? Do we tell our children that we are glad that God gave them to us? They can tell it by how our love is expressed to them. Fathers, let's be sensitive to our family's needs. Turn with me yet to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Gives the seriousness of this, this thought of filling the needs of our family. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the truth, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." Those are some pretty strong words. But we must meet the emotional needs of our families. Is there a sense of caring, a sense of protection? Do our wives know that we care, that they and the children walk the Christian life? Do they know that? Can they tell that? Spend quality time with them. You know, it seems like our homes sometimes are about like airports. And I don't know. Seems that way in our home sometimes the last while. But we men grab our lunch boxes and run out the door. Our wife says, "Wait a minute, I wanted to ask you something." And we say, "Well, hurry, I got to go. It's time to be at work. I should have been there before." What is our response to those times? In closing, I want to read a poem that I received yesterday. Actually, it came from Brother Willie Knepp. And I text him back and ask him if I could share it today. This poem says this: "Walk a little slower, Daddy," said a child so small. "I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fall. Sometimes your steps are very fast. Sometimes they're hard to see. Sometimes they're a little slower, Daddy, for you are leading me. Someday, when I'm all grown up, you're what I want to be. Then I will have a little child who'll want to follow me. Remember, there is a young generation following us. Give them a solid and consistent pattern of life that is completely dedicated to our Father in heaven. May we rise anew to the challenge, the responsibilities that God has given to us as fathers. It's something that I feel like I need to grow in, and I desire to open myself up and be what God wants me to be in this. Let's kneel for prayer.